Blog Talk Radio.
We are here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Ruth Robbins, TheRealDog.com, and it is almost signing day for the old... and get the Nirvana to shut up there. Okay, bye, bye. Anyway, we're on Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to be joined here by Lars in just a moment. I have to get him the number. If you'll just give me 1 second, I'm going to go ahead and get that number over to Lars, and he's going to be calling in. We're going to have some recruits on tonight talking about... signing tomorrow and how they're going to sign. And I'm sending this over to Lars. And it should be a lot of fun. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with Chris Warren. Of course, that's kind of something on everybody's mind. And yes, Lars, you should call in. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about that because of the fact that Lars and I are in disagreement on that. But before we get into that, I just have a few announcements I want to make. Number one, on 247 Sports tomorrow, as well as Real Dog, we're going to be having a lot of things going on. Steve Wilfong and Ryan Bartow, who are two of our recruiting experts, will be on CBSSports.com live streaming throughout the day. You can also check out Barton Simmons. He may be on in the morning. We'll be creating content all day long on the network. There's going to be some cool things like the team recruiting champion who won the national ranking there with the teams, the recruiter of the year, recruiting superlatives for the Big Five conferences, and five big-time recruits who busted in college but reemerged in the NFL. We're going to be finding out who the 2015 recruits with the most Twitter followers are. And we're going to look back at some NFL stars highlight tape from when they were in high school. So there's a lot of stuff going to be going on 247 Sports. So I definitely would recommend, going ahead and getting on board and checking our Twitter feed. UW is also going to be doing some things, too, to get the news out as these letters go in. They're going to, as guys are submitting their letters of intent, now it used to be, you know, we'd be sitting there trying to be the insiders and trying to do everything perfect and be on top of everything. But anymore with Twitter and with the way the Go Huskies site is, we don't have to do that anymore. They make it easy for us. So as signees get their letters in, they're going to be verified by UW compliance staff. And those updates will be on the Twitter, and that is at UW_football. Coach Peterson will be on. It'll be streaming on the Pac-12 network on the Internet. And I'm not sure if it's going to be on the Pac-12 network on television, but that's going to be on at 1 o'clock, and he's going to be talking to the media about the signees. I'm going to get Lars on here, and we're going to talk a little bit. Hi, Lars, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Yes, I am.
Lars Hansen is on, and he is the expert. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, he can, and he's here, and we want to thank Lars, and you know, the audience appreciates hearing this too, Lars. So, yeah, there you go. so anyway, I'm going to ask Lars a question here. You know, he and I have obviously been in a little bit of disagreement, but he's still feeling pretty confident about Chris Warren, who is the running back out of Rockville, Texas, who everybody's waiting on. And I just want to ask you, Lars, where are you feeling tonight as we head into the morning in terms of what Warren is planning on doing?
Well, I don't want to pretend like I know, and actually Chris's mother doesn't even know because she hasn't asked him and she doesn't want to know because she wants it to be Chris's decision. And I think the way Chris has handled this process And, you know, some, even his mother said that UW technically did get laid into the process, but, you know, this is Charlie Strong's first year at Texas, so it's not like he's had multiple years to get to know him and build that relationship. So they're not terribly far behind. It's not like that's going to be the reason they don't get him if they don't get him. But, I mean, you know, Washington has Miles Gaskin. Texas has got a couple of running backs. And Chris, every time when I talk to him, I would ask him about Texas and say, hey, how's your relationship with them? And he would end always with, but Washington is just the same. Washington is just as good. And the fact that he did that on his own and I didn't have to press him for it, you know, it still kind of left that opinion in my head of, you know, this kid's really trying to defend Washington. And, you know, if you're from Texas and, you know, even though Chris has got the ties to Seattle, he doesn't have to defend Washington. He could easily say, hey, Washington is good. Yeah, it's good. Texas is great. Okay, I'm going to go to Texas. You know, and he's never been like that. So I just feel like, you know, there's got to be a pull in Chris's head to go to Washington. I could be wrong. I don't want to pretend like, you know, Chris told me that because he didn't. And
right.
I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
Well, the thing about it is that one of the, you know, you mentioned about Charlie Strong, and this was kind of an interesting, I wrote this on our board, and everything's coming out now, so I don't mind saying it. Sorry about that. I had a little interruption there for a moment. Back to what I was saying about Charlie Strong. You know, when I was talking to Chris's mother, she said she was talking about Chris Peterson. She said, well, if he had been hired at Texas last year instead of Washington, she said Christopher, her son, would have been committed to Texas by now. And she kind of laughed about it. You know, I don't know if that was kind of a, I didn't take that as a rub against Charlie Strong, but it kind of made me think that maybe, you know, the question is Chris going to commit to a school, or is he going to commit to a coach and a program? And I'm just kind of weighing those two things. And this is why I'm having a problem, just because of the fact that even though he was born in the Seattle area, he grew up in Texas, he's been born and bred on Tech football. And so that's kind of one of my concerns. Do you have any feelings about that in terms of his relationship with the Washington coaches versus his relationship with Charlie Strong?
No, because, I mean, when all is said and done, you know, Chris is going to go where he wants to go, and he loves both staffs. It's never, for Chris, I know for him, it's not been about the staffs. He loves both Washington and Texas. It's not going to be cut. If he goes to one school or another, it's not going to be because of the coaches. It's going to be because of the players. And that's what he told me. He's like, it's how I feel when I get on the campus. It's, you know, I love both the staffs, but it's where do I feel the most comfortable? And, you know, when he's got someone 10 minutes right outside UW. So if he needs any family support, he's got it literally less than a mile, like less than a couple miles away. So I don't think,
okay,
you know, it is, you know, you could say it's Charlie Strong versus Chris Peterson, but it's, you know, it's the campus of UW and the campus of Texas. It's the feel when he got onto campus. And from all indications, Chris loved it. And they were brilliant to make that last visit, because he'd already been up there once in the summer. And ironically enough, that's when it kick-started everything, but they didn't really get to do that much on the visit. It was kind of an unplanned visit. And Washington, led by Keith Bonaparte, just rode that ship. And Keith really made an impression on him. I mean, my word, you talked about recruiter of the year for this class. It has to be Keith if he can get Warren. And that's not a slight against the other coaches. That's, you know, Keith making a weekly trip down to Texas just to talk to Chris for 3 hours.
Well, he's a young coach, and he's young, he's energetic. He's still young enough, you know, to have been in that process just not too many years ago. So, you know, obviously he's going to be a real strong recruiter. You know, there's another question I have too, Lars. Do you know what the story was with Xavier Castile in terms of, did they pull on him, or was there anything that, you know, anything kind of nefarious about that? Him going to SMU at the last minute?
It wasn't, I mean, you know, Castle, he liked Washington, but once SMU came around, you know, I got the feeling that, you know, even though Washington was the first one of those big schools to offer, he wasn't like Chris. He wasn't as comfortable with leaving the state of Texas as most assumed he would, just because he got an offer from Washington. And you know, he did like Washington, but when SMU got ahead and got the visit before Washington, that kind of signaled, you know, hey, we're going to go get him. And Xavier was fine deciding to, you know, go ahead and go there before going to Washington. And I think, you know, it's not, you know, I wouldn't say Washington pulled his offer, because Washington, what they're doing with their wide receivers is they let the offer stand. They weren't going to make any late offers in terms of, oh, we didn't get Castle, so let's go offer Justice Murphy or some other wide receiver at the last minute. They're content with the way they viewed the process. They liked Castle. They liked him for a while. They didn't offer him, and that was with most of the schools. And then when they came to offer, you know, I think Castle didn't want to lose his spot at SMU, and if he felt comfortable there, which it sounds like he did, he decided to jump on it. And you can't blame the kid for that, because if, you know, you can always go down the hypothetical list of, okay, he doesn't commit to SMU, he goes to Washington, SMU gets another couple commits, and then Washington gets a commit, and all of a sudden he's got no place to go. So I think he just did what was best for him, and I wouldn't say Washington pulled his offer, but they weren't, you know, it wasn't like he wasn't the number one player either.
Yeah, and they've got a good receiver class coming in. Just as a reminder, you are listening to Real Dog Blog Talk Radio, or War Room Radio, as we call it, and we will have the last few minutes of this broadcast closer to 9 o'clock. We'll be doing some question and answers from Twitter. If you'd like to call in, the 800 number that you can call in is 888-409-6280. Again, that's 888-409-6280. We've already got people calling in and waiting in the queue, so we will be getting to you a little later. So just hang in there. And we'll be having some guys come on tonight. We got Bryce Sterk lined up. We got Chico McClatcher lined up, and Ricky McCoy, who loves to talk. And you guys are going to really like this kid. He's just a neat kid. Bryce, I wanted to also talk to you a little bit. Bryce. I was looking down at my paper. I saw Bryce.
Bryce is a little more jacked than I am.
Well, Lars, you know, your new name is Bryce, so that's how it goes. You know, it's just going to be that way. Lars, you know, one of the other holdouts is Jalen Hawkins, and you know, you're kind of in the know in terms of the wide receiver recruiting, where I've got my own. And I'll let everybody know this right now. I want to say this, that I'm really sorry if I was out to lunch during the past year. I do want to let everybody know I have I'm in remission right now. I have been undergoing cancer treatment the past year, and so I wasn't working a lot, and Lars has just kicked ass, and he's done a tremendous job at keeping everything going on the site. So I do apologize for anybody who thought, my gosh, where's Ruth been? What's she doing? I'm in total remission right now, so everything's looking up. Anyway, back to this. So back to Jalen Hawkins. Now, I know he's still out there. He took an unofficial visit to Utah over the weekend. Lars, what are your thoughts on Jalen?
I mean, when he came up to Washington, I thought he was going to commit within a week after that visit. And when he didn't do that, that kind of signaled. And his recruitment overall has been really weird. I mean, he went to go take a visit to Boise State. And that's nothing against Boise State. But when you have all this, mid to late November, he claimed that he was still talking to all 12 Pac-12 schools daily. And to me was like, okay, well, there's a couple things wrong with that. I'll let that go. But there was a lot of, he kept trying to say that he was going to go take that official visit to Oregon, and that was never going to happen. That, when he set that visit up and he kept pushing it back, it was like, okay, well, you're not taking that visit. And then when he switched it out for Boise State, it wasn't that he switched it out. It was he had to go find another visit because he wasn't going to go to Oregon. And then Arizona State makes the most sense at this point. Washington hasn't gotten any indication from him that he's going to commit there. You never say never, of course, but it doesn't. You know, there's no trending towards Washington at this point. And, you know, Arizona State, they got Stanley Norman, whose recruitment was similar to Hawkins in that it was kind of all over the place. And so it almost makes sense for Hawkins to go there. It could wind up that Hawkins does factor in tomorrow, but it doesn't it's not looking likely at this point.
Okay, okay. And then over at Command Man Hawaii, we've still got Micah Tafua that the coaches are waiting on. My understanding of that was that it was pretty much 50-50. You know, Micah's been committed to BYU for a long time. And what my feeling is, and my hunch is on this, is that it's basically going to come down to where he's going to feel like he can continue on in pursuing his LDS goals as well as his football goals. And if that's at, you know, better at BYU, then that's where he'll stay. But he did like Washington a lot. As far as I know, his mom really liked Washington, really likes the coaches. So this could be an interesting one to keep an eye on, too, tomorrow. Well, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to just take about a two-second break, and we'll return in just a moment.
Hello, Mr. Gopher. Yeah, it's me, Mr. Squirrel. Yeah, hi. Just a harmless squirrel, not a plastic explosive or anything. Nothing to be worried about. Hello, Mr. Gopher.
Oh, my gosh, Caddyshack. You know, you get these wave files, and it's like, okay, which one's this? Oh, Caddyshack. Again, the number if you want to call in is 888-409-6280. You're listening to Real Dog Blog Talk Radio. This is a really cool thing we can do, and we're going to do it more. This is something I really want to do a lot more. We're going to do it tomorrow and just keep this kind of thing going. Again, we're going to be having Bryce Sturt coming up here shortly, Chico McClatcher, Ricky McCoy, and then we're going to have some recruiting questions and answers. So if you want to ask a question, you can ask us at RealDog47 on Twitter, or you can call in, or you can go to our message board on RealDog.com and ask a question there. And just as my shameless plug, if you want to subscribe before tomorrow or by tomorrow, you can go and sign up. Right now we have a promotion running that if you buy 1 month of RealDog.com and 247, you get 2 months free. So it's a really good deal, and I would definitely recommend getting on the bandwagon there. Lars, you know, there's been a lot of talk about who the real gem of this class is going to be, and I'm kind of curious as to who you think it is, because I know who I think it is, but who do you think the real gem of this is if they signed everybody right now and they didn't get Chris Warren or anybody else?
Well, I'll go offense and defense. Well, the caveat is I think Austin Joyner is going to pull a Caleb McGarry. He's going to try out a cornerback, and then he's going to realize, wait, I probably should switch to running back because I'm a lot better at running back. And that's not to say he's bad at cornerback, but everyone knows he's better on offense. And I think, you know, especially if Washington doesn't get Warren, that'll only help, you know, fuel that fire. I think another underrated one is going to be Chico McCutcheon. I know it's kind of funny to say he's underrated,
yeah,
but he's really, when he committed is, I know what he loved is when he found out he was eligible to get into Washington and everything was good there, he literally did a couple backflips. I mean, that kid, he worked his tail off to get into Washington, and it wasn't a last minute thing, but he really was trying to keep that low. And then once him and his mom found out that he could get into Washington, there was no way he was going anywhere else. The other person that I think is going to be a real steal is Tevis Bartlett. I mean, the kid is so quiet, but he's so good. And the thing is, he's been hidden in Wyoming because he's played almost every single position because in his high school and his team, he was the best player on the field. But his best position is going to be at linebacker. And I think he's really going to be one of those, you know, hidden three-star gems. I know it's, you know, three stars can be really good or really bad. But I think he's really, he's a true hidden gem. And, I mean, you know, you got a couple of those. You can go Bryce Sturck. I'm kind of curious to see how Miles – and I'm kind of curious to see how Miles Rice develops as well. I mean, I know he's going to gray shirt, but when he comes in, I'm kind of curious to see if where he's going to fit in. I know they could put him at the buck, or he's too small to be a
true
defensive end.
Your phone's breaking up a little bit, Lars.
What?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there, kid. You might want to hang up and call back in or something.
Okay, well, I can hear
you. Can you hear me?
Fine.
There you are.
Yeah,
you're here now. Right.
Okay.
But, yeah, I agree. I was wondering about go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm just curious to see where they put Miles Rice when all of a sudden done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's funny, too, you brought up Austin Joyner in running back, because I was talking to him today because he was going to be with us, but he couldn't tonight because he had a previous obligation. he said that. I, you know, I ran that by him. I said, you know, what about running back? He's like, no, you know, I'm going to play defensive back. I'm set on defensive back. And I said, well, what if they need you at running back? He goes, if they need me at running back, I might go there. But, you know, I really want to play in the secondary. So, you know, but Austin Joyner, you know, he's got a lot of gifts offensively too. I mean, without question. So, you know, what about Myles Gaskin? Where do you think he fits in with all this?
I mean, Myles is the funny thing is Myles is probably the best pure running back that this class has. Obviously, if they get Warren, you know, that might be kind of hard to beat. But Myles is a really good, strong running back. And the thing that I'm curious to see is he's almost kind of that LeVon Coleman kind of style where he might not be the biggest game breaker, but he's the guy that can go 20, 25 carries a game. And, you know, Washington is really wide open at the running back position at this point. I mean, you know, you might say, okay, well, Dwayne Washington did good last year, and Coleman was there as well, and a couple other pieces. But there's no true definitive number one running back. And I know Washington liked the running back committee last year, but, yeah, eventually, when all of a sudden, you got to have one strong running back. And Gaskin could be that guy. You know, I don't think he'll play this year because there's no point in burning that redshirt right away. But, you know, come his redshirt, freshman, redshirt, sophomore year, I think he could definitely be a great backup running back.
Yeah. Well, they've got some good guys. You know, they've definitely got some players that are going to, you know, there's some guys that are just going to surprise people, I think. You know, like some of these defensive players. I think Ben Burkhoven's definitely a guy that is going to surprise and turn some heads. I think Tevis Bartlett definitely is. And so I think they've got some really good weapons coming in on defense as well as offense. What I'm going to do right now is take a little breather. I'm going to get Bryce Sturck on the phone, and I'll return to you in just a minute. And I guess since we're talking about Seattle, let's listen to some Seattle music. Songs that I just can listen to over and over again, and it's just cool every single time. All right, I'm waiting for Bryce to call in right here. He's coming along. He's coming. Just hold on. Just hang on, and while we're waiting for Bryce to call in, I just want to remind you guys that we will be doing 24/7 on 24/7 Sports tomorrow on National Signing Day, so be sure and tune in to our Twitter, to our message boards, the 247 recruiting site, home recruiting site. There's just going to be a whole bunch of stuff going on. Steve Wilfong and Ryan Bartow will be streaming all day on CBS Sports, and they are our two recruiting experts. So we look forward to that. And don't forget that at 6 in the morning, or about 6:15, 6:30 thereabouts, we're going to be finding out where Chris Warren's going to sign his letter. So while we're waiting for Bryce, I also want to let you guys know that we're going to be having Chica McClatcher and Ricky McCoy coming up as well. And if you want to call in and you have a question, you can call us at 888-409-6280. Again, that's 888-409-6280. So I'm just waiting for the old Bryster here. Hey, Lars.
Yes.
Lars,
yes.
Are you awake?
Yes.
You've been sneezing and stuff. You got a cold?
Yeah, a little bit. Literally, the entire campus is sick. I kid you not.
Well, that's because you're in Pullman, right?
Friday, Saturday night came around. Sunday morning, the entire campus was coughing.
Seriously?
And no joke. I have not seen one person not cough. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, all right, one of you guys, I don't understand this. I'm going to hang up somebody and I'll have you call back in because for some reason that's not working. I've got to learn this. You know, this is still something new I've got going on here in terms of learning this Blog Talk Radio. So if I hang up on you, you can always call back in because we gotta get Bryce on here. Okay, try it now. Thank God for technology. How you liking the weather down on this side of the Rockies, Lars?
I'm loving the fact that it hasn't snowed that much. It snowed twice, and it doesn't
snowed
even
a couple
even
nights
snow.
Ago.
Yeah, we didn't get. Yeah, that didn't last. Yeah, well, I woke up the next morning and it was all gone. That was nice because I don't mind the snow, but people cannot drive in the snow. It's incredible.
All right, we got Bryce on there. Bryce, you might want to get away from your computer there. All right, we're having a little bit of issue there with Bryce and his feedback problems. Okay, feedback, buddy. Let me get him fixed up there. Let's try that again. Aha! You there, Bryce?
Yep.
Hello? Oh, there you go. All right, we got Bryce Stirk here, everybody. Say hello to Bryce. So, you going to sign your letter tomorrow?
Yeah. Yep, that's the plan.
Now, Bryce, you were like you were a real late guy on the commit list. But the Huskies had been watching you for a long time, from what I understand. Can you tell us a little bit about what led up to that offer and when this all started?
Well, it started back in spring when I was running track. Coach Choate found me when I was running track then, and that's when I was first exposed. And then they invited me down to one of their camps, but I wasn't able to make it. But instead, I went to one of their practices, and that's when we first met and talked. And they kind of showed me around a little bit then, and ever since then, we've kind of been calling back and forth for a while. And I went down to a couple of their games and watched their games, and that led up to eventually Coach Pete coming down a couple of weeks ago and offering me at my high school.
And you know, you took a few days, you took your visit, and Oregon had come on there toward the end too. Had they when you committed to Washington, did any of these schools continue to call you or try to contact you after that?
No, not really. I made sure I called them all after I committed, so they knew what was up, and then I didn't receive a call from anyone after that.
Yeah. Well, Ed, was this the way you wanted this to go? I mean, did you think that offer from Washington was going to come? Did you think it was imminent? Were you ready for it, or did it kind of come as a surprise to you that day?
I kind of knew that I would get it. I was just wasn't sure when. So when Coach Pete said that he would be coming up with Coach Choate, then that kind of gave it away.
Okay, and talk a little bit about where they see you on the field, and have they talked to you about when you're going to get in there. Are you going to redshirt? Has any of this stuff been discussed?
Yes, it has. They plan on putting me at a buck position, buck outside linebacker. That's where they see me fitting best on the defense. And they're not sure if I'm going to start or true or redshirt. It all depends on how hard I practice in spring camp and how well I adjust to their system.
Okay. All right. But you have an ideal play weight you want to come in at? Or have you thought about that?
I have not, actually. I haven't really put much time to it. I know that I need to go in there and give it my best shot, and whatever happens, happens. That's a coach's call.
What was your official height and weight when you went on your visit?
My official height and weight was, it was 6'4 and a quarter and 228.
Okay. Hey, Lars, you got any questions for Bryce?
Yeah, Bryce, let's talk about Coach Joe for a minute here. When you first got to know him, how big did he play in your recruitment, and when were your first thoughts of him when you first got to meet him?
When I first talked to him, it was probably that one practice I went down, and I talked with him very briefly because he was running his drills. But ever since then, he's been doing all the recruiting, and he's been calling me and filling me in on what's going on. So that's how I got to know him.
Okay, and when you started getting recruited by UW, were they upfront with you in the, kind of where you stood with them, and given you got the offer kind of late, did they kind of explain that to you throughout the process?
Did they explain why it was kind of late and stuff?
Were they honest with you about like where you stood in their list in terms of we have a couple other guys. And then, here's where we see you at, or not really?
Yeah, they did. One of the games I went down to, Coach Choate pulled me in his office and with my parents, and we talked about my position and where I'd fit in, and he showed me his depth chart of what he has for that position. So they were very upfront and honest about where they saw me.
And how big is that for you? I know you got the offer kind of late, but to have a school be completely open with you and honest throughout the process, how big is that?
Oh, that's all I could ask for. I mean, working with honest coaches means a whole lot, knowing that you can trust them and that they won't lie to you.
Okay. And now I know Taylor Rapp. You've been committed now for a couple of weeks. Have you been here at all about coming to Washington?
Do I know if he's coming to Washington?
No. Have you been, trying to get him to come to Washington and talking to him about Washington?
Yeah, I did a little bit. He first congratulated me on my offer and commitment, and then I tried talking to him. He said he was going down to an official to Oregon, but I told him there's really no use going down there. Washington's the place to be, so.
And what did he say to that?
He laughed, and he said, yeah, hopefully so. I'm hoping he comes to Washington, too.
Good deal. Ruth, do you have any more questions?
I was going to ask you, too, Bryce. Now, what's your plan in the morning for signing, and are you having anything going on at your school?
I plan on signing my papers at 7 as soon as I can and faxing them in as soon as possible. And then at 1:30, we have kind of a mock signing with all the other people, all the other recruits and stuff that are going to college for sports. So, and that's at 1:30, and that's for family, friends, and the local newspaper and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations, Bryce. It's really nice to always, Coach Pete is doing just a great job of recruiting the top players in state, and it's always really super cool to find somebody that fans at least didn't know really was out there, and especially up in Linden. I mean, you're like way up next to Canada, so it's not exactly in the neighborhood. These are great stories, I remember you and me talked about that when I first interviewed you, and we talked about another guy that came out of a small town from the state of Washington and went on to do great things back in the early 90s. So it's nice to see the local guys step up and really hopefully, do some real damage there at UW and kick some butt. So, and congratulations to you and your family. It's been a pleasure, and you know, I just want to thank you again for talking to us tonight, and here's to you tomorrow. Good luck tomorrow, and,
yeah,
and thanks again, kiddo. All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, that was good to have Bryce on, and we're gonna have a little bit of applause for him because he did a nice job with us, and well, I guess we're not gonna have any applause because I can't find the applause button. Take a little quick break here, and we'll be right back. I'm going to try to get Ricky McCoy on the line, and we'll just be moving along. Oh, this is a good one. Let's turn that baby up. Come back. Don't go away. I hate that when things do that. All right, I'm waiting on Ricky right now. Just give me 5 seconds, and we're going to be right back with him. So just hold on. He's calling in. Like I said, I'm kind of new to this radio setup, so give me time. By this time next year, I should have it done. I just lost somebody else. If you're calling in and we drop you, just try again because, like I said, I've got to set this for a certain amount of call-ins, and I haven't done it, and, you know, I'm just kind of an idiot. So just give it a chance. We're waiting on Ricky, and we got another caller calling in. You guys are really persistent. Let's just give this a minute. Okay, let's see. Is this the old Rickster? I got to say, this guy is one of my favorite guys, and not just because he gave me a big shout-out on, you know, on Facebook or on Twitter, but that definitely didn't hurt. It's always kind of nice, but he's a cool kid. He was committed to Arizona to start out. We got him right here with us right now. Ricky, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm right here.
Big round of applause. All right. And even the kids are into it right now.
Yay!
All right. Oh, the kids love him too. You know, it's just cool to be Ricky. So Ricky McCoy was originally committed to Arizona, and that was like from a long time ago. Started getting recruited by Washington, took his time, drug his feet a little bit, took his visit, and popped the question, or
yes,
popped the, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. How are you feeling about that decision? Any regrets, or are you just going forward, just full blast?
No, not at all. I'm just, you know, I'm 100%, you know, glad and ready to become a dog, and I just know I made the right decision.
That's awesome, Ricky. Now, you were up there that weekend, too, with all these other guys, with Benning, and you were like, I knew he was going to commit. I mean, how long did you know Benning was in the doghouse before fans knew?
Well, I mean, you know, there was a lot of talk of him, you know, before, and being that close to such a great university, it's hard to say no, especially when that's your home. And, you know, so once I got up there and, you know, me and him got to chatting a little bit, I knew it was a done deal, and, you know, and he kind of hinted to me as well.
Yeah. Well, Ricky, so now tell me a little bit about the position they're bringing you in at. For some reason, you're listed as a tight end in our database, and I don't. Do you know how that started? Because I sure as heck don't. Where this
yeah, well,
I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, well, in the beginning of my recruiting, that's what I started off as. You know, when I weighed like 225 pounds my sophomore year, but then as it went on a couple of years, and I gained about 60 pounds. You know, my position changed, and I started getting recruited a little bit differently by different schools. So, yeah, that's kind of how that started right there.
Well, so what's your height and weight right now?
I'm 6'4", 295 pounds.
Okay. And you're going to play defensive tackle, not defensive end, but defensive tackle.
Right, right. In
is that correct?
In the 4-3
okay.
system. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Because I had you down for some reason. I had you as a defensive end, and I didn't. It was like, was I thinking right, or was that just a typo? I don't even remember, but for some reason I had that in there, and I had to change it. But so now, have the coaches talked to you at all about what they want you to play at in terms of your weight?
You know, they really didn't stress stress a weight to me, you know, a certain weight. You know, they're just saying pick a good weight, and if you can move at it, and if, you know, you're agile and athletic enough to be at that weight, then, you know, you're good there. But if not, you either have to, you know, gain or lose depending on, you know, the circumstances of that.
What's your bench max?
No, I haven't tested in a while, but it's somewhere over the 4 mark.
Good Lord. Okay. all righty then. Hey, Lars. Lars is on the phone too. You got? What do you have to say to Ricky?
Oh, hey, that's
Ricky,
my guy
there,
right
man.
There, man.
What's
going on, Lars?
How you doing, boy?
I'm excellent, man. How about yourself?
I'm in the middle of nowhere right now. I'm getting used to it. All right, so now me and you have talked at length about Coach Papow, but you know, for those who have not heard you talk, for those who, for some reason, don't read our site or maybe have not heard you talk, let's talk about Coach Papow. What do you like about him? What made you guys click so well?
Man, you know, I can't say enough about Coach Papow. You know, he knows how to talk to people. You know, recruits. You know, kind of in general. But, you know, my first conversation with him, you know, went really well. And I was like, this is one of those guys that I would love to be around and, you know, have his kind of personality, you know, and be around him a lot. So, you know, Pow Pow, he's, you know, a nice guy, of course. And, you know, he's always straightforward. You know, he's always been honest with me since we started recruiting. And, you know, we kind of had the same background. You know, he's a Cali guy too, so you know, California, you got to stick together, best state. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know. It's hard to describe our relationship in just a few words.
Okay, and now I know back when you first got that offer, you were kind of still looking at some other Pac-12 schools and kind of wanting to stay local. And then you slowly but surely started to warm up to Washington. What made you want to warm up to Washington? Because I know you originally wanted to play tight end, and then Washington was treating you on the defensive side. And then you're like, well, okay, maybe I should start playing defense. And then you made the switch. And when did you kind of start leaning towards Washington? Because I know you committed before your visit, but when did you start leaning towards Washington?
Right, right. Well, you know, I've been saying this pretty often that it's a lot different, you know, a feeling being committed to Washington compared to being committed to Arizona. Because, you know, once I committed there, you know, they kind of stopped recruiting me. And then, you know, Pow and the rest of the staff, you know, they hopped on me and they never stopped. So, you know, you always want to go where you want it. And, you know, and as far as from tight end to DN or D tackle, you know, there was a lot of talk of, you know, once I start gaining weight. So, you know, sooner or later you got to face the facts. So, you know, I was like, maybe this is a better suited position for me. And it turns out that I was right, and so was everybody else.
Now, you know, how, when it comes to that, you know, is there any bitter taste in your mouth with Arizona? Or, you know, when it comes to getting on the field, is there any going to be any maybe added motivation to, you know, say, hey, Rich Rod, don't forget me?
Well, you know, I can't be that way towards the school, you know, especially being the first school to offer me. Of course, I have great gratitude for them. But, you know, just regardless, whenever you step on the field, you know, you on there to just, you know, not to get specific, but, you know, you out there to do your thing, you know, make a name for yourself, especially as a true freshman. And that game happens to be on my birthday, so that would be a fun one.
Okay. And now let's just kind of talk in terms of, you know, the future recruiting. Have you been talking to any guys in the 2016 class, maybe way on in the 2017 class about Washington, or any guys that maybe have already piqued your interest or anything like that?
Yeah, Caleb Kelly, you know, that's my little dude right there. Of course, he's not little, but,
you know.
Your little homie.
Yeah, you know, but we on the same 7-on-7 team and, you know, and all that group stuff. So I've been talking to him, you know, telling him, you know, you better make sure you take a visit, you know, unofficial or official down to Washington. So he said, yeah, he'll be taking that one. And then Romello Harris, you familiar with him? Yeah,
yeah.
Running back from out here in my area. Yeah, him too. I speak to him a lot too. You know, I'm always putting Washington in his head, and you know, he's actually quite fond of Washington. You know, I can't say what he's thinking for himself, but you know, I do know that
he does like that a lot. Yeah, yeah, he's definitely a guy that I've been keeping an eye on, because it seems like early on he's got a lot of interest, real high interest. So he's definitely
Rolando,
a guy that.
Rolando's 95% sure where he's going already.
Yeah, I mean,
there you go.
And that's a good thing, and he's a baller too. So, you know, for the ones who haven't got to see his tapes or whatever, you probably will want to.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know I added 30 minutes to this broadcast, so we can have more time to talk to callers and stuff too, because we got people piling in, want to talk to us, and people asking questions on Twitter. So I added some time so we can go over here. Don't worry, we can yak all night, and it doesn't matter. So carry on.
Okay,
go ahead.
All right, Ricky, I got one last question for you. What are you more excited for, being able to finally recruit kids when you're in Washington, like, you know, when they go on their official visits, or getting your first sack?
Oh, man. That's, you know, that's a tough question. You know, you kind of put me in that position, you know, kind of make me look selfish, because of course I want that first sack, but you know, we need some good recruits too, so you know, that's a tough one. But I'm gonna have to say that first sack, you know, because that's just a great feeling.
Good deal.
You can do that little roll that Danny Shelton did in the Apple Cup.
Hey, you know what's funny about that? I was in an All-Star game this past weekend. And I did that, you know, everybody got a good laugh out of it.
Oh, man. Well, this is a good defensive class that you're coming in, you know, so guys like Benning, and we were talking about some of these other guys like Ben Burkervin and Bryce Dirk, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some guys, you know, but this is a good class. And I wanted to ask you, too, about your relationship with Coach Kwiatkowski, or Coach K, and how you feel about how he runs the defense, and you know, just what he gets out of guys out there.
Well, Coach K is a great coach, you know, and a great guy personally. And you know, him being a D-line guy as a D coordinator, and me having Coach Choate as a personal D-line coach, is kind of, you know, is really cool, because you know, Coach Choate was kind of saying, like, you know, they're like fire and ice. You know, Coach Choate is always the one that's all fired up, and you know, Coach K is kind of the laid back, chill one. And Coach K really knows how to recruit his guys and get good guys on the field. So that definitely shows a lot about him.
Coach Choate's a pretty fired up guy.
Yeah, I love Coach Choate, man. He's he's awesome, man.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good to hear. You know, it's been a long time. You know, as somebody who's been following Husky football since, you know, I don't know, since Jesus was walking in Galilee. That's pretty old, but that's why sometimes. It's been a long time, and I don't think this ever happened. They had three All-Americans that played defense. Not even the year they won the national title did they have three defensive players who were All-American, you know, consensus All-Americans. And,
right.
You know, who, I don't know what they're going to do in the draft, but, you know, and it's hard to say. It's hard to say, well, would this have happened if Coach Sark had been there still? You know, we don't know. But at the same time, you've got to believe in the development of these Husky coaches, because I look at what they did at Boise State and how many guys they put in the NFL. And I was just wondering, you know, as a recruit, as a guy who's going to play there, did that enter into your mind at all, you know, that development and how far they're going to push you to go beyond yourself and get to the next level?
Yeah, of course, most definitely. You know, you see great guys like Danny Shelton and the rest of those guys, and, you know, and you figure that you get a chance to, you know, play for a coach that's coached those guys and turned them into being that good. And, you know, you kind of get that fire inside, like, man, I got a chance to do that too. So, you know, let me go see what I can do and what I can get out of it. So, you know. That's definitely.
Well, you know, I think you're going to be a guy that fans really like a lot, Ricky, just because I can tell with your enthusiasm. I mean, how do you get along with guys like Elijah Qualls and those guys? Because Elijah's a real fired up guy.
I just wondered
when you went up there. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Well,
Ricky.
I didn't really. That's one that I didn't get to meet. Was Elijah Qualls, but you know, they were telling me I look like him for some reason. So you know, I was like, man, you know, I'm not saying nothing, but I look good. So you know, this guy must be a cool guy. So, but I hung a lot with Vita and Shane Bowman.
Oh yeah,
you know, we all got along good. You know, hanging in other dorms and stuff. So those are some good guys. You know, definitely some guys that I could be around for. You know. The time that I have to be up there. And plus, being with me as a roommate is just, you know, that'll be a whole lot of fun.
That's very cool. Well, I know you guys are going to kick some butt up there at UW, and it's going to be fun to watch over the next 4 years, and I'm sure you've got some high goals. Now, what time are you signing tomorrow?
Mine will be at about 3:30.
Are you faxing your letter in sooner, or are you going to sign then so that people won't freak out when they say, well, we haven't. Okay.
Yeah, I'll have that in.
Yeah, they're like, well, yeah, they haven't gotten their letter in. Is he still coming? You know, so that way people
will
know.
I'll have my letter in. I have my letter in at about 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's when
I have to fax it over, so.
Well, Ricky, it's awfully good to talk to you, kiddo, and I've enjoyed covering you, and I'm going to enjoy covering you the next 4 years. That's going to be a lot of fun. You got anything else, Lars, or
Ricky, just congrats on your decision, man. I was glad to cover you.
Oh, thank you, man. It was a pleasure of mine, as a matter of fact. So, thank you. And thank you, too.
All right.
Go kill it.
All right, we've been talking to Ricky. Right now is we're going to move on and take a couple of these calls. There's some couple guys that are just persistent who have been on hold forever. I did have a couple Twitter questions, too. I'm going to go to, let's see what we got here. I'm going to take a call here. Let's grab one of these people that have been holding for a long time. That looks like a Wisconsin number. Let's see who we got here. Hello, you're on Real Dog Log Talk Radio. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Are you there? Hello, you've been holding all night. Are you there? Hello? Yeah, I'm going to hang up on him and maybe he'll call back. I'm going to go over to Oregon over here. Uh-oh, this could be dangerous, Lars. Hi, you're on War Room Radio.
Maybe Justin's on.
Hello? Hello? I don't get it. These guys are on hold for like ever, and then you go to answer the phone, and they're gone. Like, where'd they go?
They got nervous.
There they gone. I guess so. A couple questions here on Twitter. One was, who's your favorite PSA? Well, that's kind of, you know, that was from, who was that? Asked that question just to give him a shout-out. It was Bruce Watson asked who our favorite PSA is. Do you have a favorite? I don't really, Lars. I mean, I like all these guys. You know, this is a question. Maybe it's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of kids are fun to cover. None of these kids were a pain to cover, I'll say that much.
No.
There were a few that didn't commit to Washington that were a massive pain because, you know, that's neither here nor there.
All right. I'm picking up again. Are you there, caller? Are you there, caller? This is really strange. Let me see if I can... Nope. You just get stage fright, I guess. Another question here on Twitter was somebody was asking about... a lot of questions about Chris Warren. Now, as we were talking, Chris Warren went on Twitter and he said... let me find that. It said something about, you know, the problem here is that somebody's going to... Did you see that, Lars?
Yeah, I saw that when he said, I hate the fact that someone's got to lose when it comes to getting his recruitment or his commitment.
Yeah, see, what I was trying to find out earlier was if he's actually made his decision or if it's just,
Well,
he
may or may not have made his decision, but no one knows. I mean, he hasn't told his mom, and his mom hasn't asked, and his mom's not going to ask. And I think if he had made his decision, only Chris is going to know.
Oh, I think his mom's going to ask. She's a mom. I would.
she hasn't asked.
Everybody's a psycho mom like I am. But, now, and again, another question is, why did you change your crystal ball pick to Texas?
I didn't.
Don't have a subscription. No, you didn't, but somebody's asking
me why I did.
Yeah. Well, you know, I explained that in rather big detail. It started out with Lars and I having a late night debate on Facebook because I said, I'm just not comfortable with that announcement time being so early in the morning. And it just, something just bothered me. I'm being open-minded. I'm sticking with my crystal ball for him to Texas. However, this is one of those times where if I'm wrong, you guys can throw tomatoes at me and you Dogman guys can call me the crazy lady all day long because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will be happy I'm wrong. And I would like to be wrong because this is a big need Washington has, is to get a guy like Chris Warren. So, but, you know, there was a lot of things that went into that. His family obligations, or his mom's family obligations in Texas, as well as the fact that Washington had not been with him throughout the last 2 years of his recruitment. So, as Lars said, you know, they did a lot in the short time they had, and his mother told me that Washington did an exceptional job at recruiting him at a very high level, despite the fact that they're not there in Texas. So, you know, it could go either way. I'm not gonna blow smoke up anyone's you know what on this. I'm gonna be honest, and this is just my feeling. And I had Chris to Washington for a lot of months, but that was before I really, really got in there and really covered him myself personally, because Lars has been the guy that's been really carrying the load with Chris, and so. And he's done a great job all year on that. So, anyway, that's my answer to that question. I'm going to try this guy one more time and see. Are you there, caller? Are you there? This is a really bizarre thing, is that this guy's calling in and there's just, like, nobody there. And I don't know what to do to make him stop calling in. Hello? Are you there, caller? Okay, and then we got this Oregon guy, too. Are you there, caller? Hello? Hello, caller, are you there? Are you there? That was kind of weird. This is kind of creepy. I don't know, maybe there's something wrong with the Blog Talk Radio thing tonight, and that's why I'm not getting these people. A couple more questions on Twitter. Somebody asked me about the three guys left on board. Will they sign these last three players they're pursuing? Now, one of the things I wanted to point out, too, and I did this in my Recruiting Insider report, was that even though we say, well, they can take up to 27 guys, that doesn't mean they're going to take 27 guys. That means they can take up to 27 guys. They have 24 guys, public guys, committed right now. They have two that have already signed letters. They have two that are gray shirting. That's part of that. So basically what I'm seeing is that they've got room for probably two more guys. And so that's kind of what I think. Would you agree with me on that, Lars, or were you thinking there was going to be more?
Yeah, I thought 27 was always their high number. I mean, I know they can take 27, but I don't think they're banking on taking 27. That's not, you know, that's not to say they can't get those three. Plus, if they get Micah, he doesn't even count for this year. So
no, he doesn't.
So that would leave even another couple players out there. And I just can't see them going and landing. I mean, you know, granted, this staff can throw anything by the media because, you know, they hid Ben Burkervin for the longest time and, you know, I had some good laughs with the people on the sidelines about that one. But, you know, this staff, you know, they can pull a rabbit out of a hat. But then again, I don't expect them to do that. It's Micah, it's Chris, it's Hawkins. I don't see anyone else on their radar at this point.
Well, you're no fun. And
we can go to 2016. That list is long.
Well, you know, another question that somebody said, well, now with Warren off the table, that's kind of a downer. He's not off the table, okay? This is me. This is Ruth. Ruth is saying she has doubts. That doesn't mean it's good. I've been wrong before. Ask Lars. I've been wrong about a lot of things. I've been right about a lot of things, too. I really don't know which way he's going to go, to be perfectly honest. And when I get to the point where I'm just so uncertain, I stick with what's familiar, you know, in terms of that recruit, which would be Texas. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. So let's just not say Warren's off the table. We're going to find out in a few hours if he is or if he isn't. But the class is finishing strong. My gosh. I mean, look at Jake Browning. You know, this guy just blew the record books up in California this year. This guy is for real. Then they got Henry Roberts, who's putting on some, you know, Henry admitted that he was thinner, but he's grown. I mean, he's just barely 17 years old. And, you know, so they got some sleepers, Andre Bocelli. Lars, can you talk a little bit about, you know, you talked about the guys that were the gems of the class, but what about guys like Renfro and Andre Bocelli and Michael Neal? I mean, what do those guys bring to the program?
Well, I could easily see Renfro starting right away because they don't really have that many tall receivers. They lost Kendall Taylor, which was, you know, that wasn't a surprise because he wasn't getting the playing time. And the kid's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of raw potential. So he just wanted he wanted to go where he was going to have the best opportunity. And that worked out for both sides. But Renfro is their only real tall wide receiver in this class, you know, 6'2", 185. Him and Jake, you know, granted, Jake is not going to start this fall. If Jake starts this fall, that means Washington is really in a bad spot, and I don't think they're in a bad spot. And that's not a slight on Jake, but if you have four quarterbacks and a freshman beats them out, that's a bad sign. Yeah.
Okay.
But having said that, I think, you know, Renfro is one of those guys that can come in right away and start. And I think that's their plan for him, from what I've been told.
All right. I got one caller here. Caller, are you there? Caller from California?
Hello?
Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Who am I speaking? Hi. Welcome to Real Dog Radio. Who am I talking to? And he went away. This is really weird. I'm going to have to figure this out and find out why this thing is so bizarre. But we'll get it figured out. The thing about it is, Lars, that Ricky had mentioned Romello Harris. Is it too early to talk about him possibly being the first guy to commit to Washington this year?
Well, he pushed back his visit because he's got a basketball game this Friday that he was going to come up to visit. So he's looking, he told me, what is it? It's not spring break, but he's going to visit sometime. It might be in the summer. I don't think he's not going to be the first one to commit. I know that. Because if he had made it up for that visit, it would have depended on who popped first that weekend. But I still think he ends up in Washington. I think I have him crystal ball to Washington already. It's more a matter of, you know, when for him, because, you know, he loves Washington. What he told me a couple of days ago is he said it was almost a blessing in disguise that he has the basketball game on Friday and he's going to postpone the visit. And Washington was, you know, they were totally understanding with that. But he said he really wanted to make sure that the school that he's thinking of leaning towards is the school that's best for him. And he's kind of giving it some more time. It's not to say that he's no longer looking at Washington or anything like that. But he's definitely, you know, wanting to make sure, because he's, you know, with the Washington staff, they take it seriously. You know, if you commit, you commit. I can't recall, aside from Jalen Green last year, I can't recall a commit that is not signed with Chris Peterson that committed to him when he was at Washington. I could be wrong on that, okay. But I'm almost positive he hasn't. So I think he'll be one of the first few to commit. You know, maybe, you know, Brandon's already committed, but I don't think he'll be the next one in line to commit. I think there's a couple other guys that'll go before him.
All right. Bruce Watson on Twitter has a question. He wants to know is there anyone else that could walk on in this class? Well, Bruce was the one that tried to call. He says, I tried to call, by the way, but I live in Canada and it didn't work. Oh, well, we're sorry we missed you, Bruce. Hopefully we can find out a way to get international calls in here. But to answer the question about walk-ons, you know, we hear only so much about walk-ons this time of year. You know, you hear a lot about preferred walk-ons. You talked to Clark.
Yeah, John Clark.
Griswold, I want to say. Not Clark, the other day. He's a preferred walk-on. A lot of times
yes,
the walk-on situation will start, will start ironing itself out as late as, you know, after fall camp starts. So, you know, there's going to be more walk-ons. But if you're talking about preferred walk-ons, I haven't really heard of anybody. Have you, Lars? I mean, it's kind of late in the game now.
Yeah.
To...
Well, Deonta Hayes out of Lincoln in Tacoma, who goes to the same high school as Justice Warren. I actually asked Justice about that today. He's in a very smaller way, not to diminish his skills, but he's also being very quiet about what he wants to do because he does have some other offers that are not walk-on offers. They're, you know, full scholarship, FBS and FCS offers. Not a ton, but he's got other options, and he's still thinking about walking out of Washington. So there is, you know, that's out there. Obviously, if he commits publicly tomorrow, not to Washington, obviously that settles that. And because Deonta, along with Justice and one other player, Lincoln, is announcing tomorrow. The name is slipping me. So that'll actually be decided tomorrow.
Okay.
And much like Morgan Ritchie last year and Max Richmond,
mm-hmm.
when they both made it known on signing day that they were going to walk on to Washington. So, you know, there's kind of, you know, the possible walk-on guys. I know they got Jake Wamba pretty late last year. And, I'm trying to think, there's the running back out of Texas, Gavin McDaniel or something like that, when he came out of Texas and he walked on. The staff definitely, there are some more likely walk-on offers out there, but, you know, some will be ironed out tomorrow, some will be, you know, still to be determined over the next couple months.
Okay, and Eric Rowe on our message board had asked a question about some 216 guys. He wants to hear about them, which I want to have a whole show after signing day that is just about running down some of the names, the big names to be watching out for in 2016. Lars has been on this again, like I said at the beginning of the show, a lot longer than me this year because of my absence from illness. But I have started to dig into the 2016 class as well. I wanted to make a point something out too about Ryan Bowman. Now he is in Florida. He's enrolled down there at IMG Academy and he's going to school and playing ball. You know, Ryan, just because he went down there doesn't mean that's where he wants to go to college. He went down there to get better as a football player and to get into the position he wants to play in college. And I believe in my heart that Ryan would ultimately and ideally like to come back and be a Husky and get that offer and go to Washington and play with his brother and some of those Bellevue guys. So, you know, don't forget about Ryan Bowman when we're talking about 2016 guys. But I talked to Melky Stovall last week, and gosh, you've been talking to a lot of guys too, Lars. Who sticks out to you, though? You know, we talked about who might be the first guy to commit in 2016. I mean, if you were just going to make a guess right now, who do you think?
Well, I made a promise to one, so I'll let that go.
I know who you're talking about.
The one after him, it could be, I think Isaiah Gilchrist could pop early. I know Washington is working really hard on him early. Kyler Vaughns, he's another one that is actually really high on Washington, and Washington is in his top three right now. And Brent Pease has done a phenomenal job with him.
What about Chase Lucas?
Chase is another interesting guy. He was very high on Washington when he first got the offer and actually noted that he was really close with Kendall Taylor. I have not gotten a chance to talk with him and ask him if that has adjusted anything in his mind, but I don't think it has. I don't think it will. Garrett Rand is actually a four-star defensive tackle out of Chandler, Arizona. He is another top-out guy, and another one who, you know, could, I'm not sure if he'll commit early, but he's looking to visit very early in the process.
Right.
And then Theo Howard out of Westlake, if that's correct. I know Theo Howard, I think he's out of Westlake. He's also looking at making a visit to Washington in the near future as well. He's got trips. He's got offers from Oregon. He's got offers from TCU. Washington is really going high and hard in the wide receiver category for 2016. That's due to the fact that the West Coast is loaded in 2016 for wide receivers, and they have Braden Menias, who's a tall wide receiver. They have Isaiah Renfro coming in, and I cannot think of another legitimately tall wide receiver that they have. Dante Pettis is a great possession wide receiver, but he's not 6'3", 6'4". Great wide receiver, don't get me wrong. But in terms of those possessions, Braden should really flourish next year. But that all depends on the quarterback.
You think they're going to keep Gerald Daniels at tight end?
I really hope not. I really hope not. He'd be a great tight end, you know, if they weren't loaded down. The key there is you had David Ajamu, Darryl Daniels, Drew Sample. You know, Michael is going to redshirt, and I'm 99.9% sure on that. But you know, I think David makes more sense at tight end given his size. And Washington can use, because Darryl showed he can catch. Darryl showed he's got him.
Yeah.
That was kind of his struggle coming in early on, but he's improved that. And so I think if they were to move, I think they're going to make some moves this spring, hopefully. You know, I mean, I don't want to pretend like I'm smarter than Coach Peterson here because, well, you know, I'm not. But I think if they were to look at it, Darryl should move outside, and that would solve a lot of the wide receiver problems. But you know, they could go two tight ends with Ajamu and Daniels. They could. I mean, the only problem is Ajamu is more of a tight end. Daniels is more of a wide receiver. That's what he was brought in to do.
Josh Perkins is still there.
Right. Yeah. Josh is still there. Man, it's incredible how. Josh, it's incredible how Josh goes from being kicked off under Sark, brought back like 2 days later, and then disappears and then reemerges last year.
I know. Right. He's like, you know, he's like, I don't know. I was going to say Billy Earhart's plane.
Nothing is like covering his Steve Sarkisian team, though. Let me tell you. Love the guy, but he's incredible.
It's incredible. It truly is. And, you know, Sark's having a really good run over there at SC right now. But, you know, I mean, I think USC could win a national title under Sarkisian. I really do. I mean, they got so much talent there. You know, he's going to do well there. That's his thing. I truly believe that Steve Sarkisian is better suited with his recruiting the way he recruits and how he recruits is better suited for USC, because USC's got this thing where it's like next man up. They got so much depth. Well, I think he tried that at Washington and it didn't work for him because there wasn't that depth. And you can't, you know, look at his first class. He tried to get everything all at once, bringing in all these JC guys. None of them could get in. And I think that there were some real flops there in the way that he recruited. He did some great things recruiting-wise. Don't get me wrong, but I do think that he's better suited where he's at now because of the level of talent he's got and the depth he's got. You know, USC even going, you know, on probation, you know, you would have thought that their program would have just been decimated by the depth issue. But, they're, you know, it's the next man up again, so... You know, I always said that Bozo the Clown could coach USC and they'd be good, but Sark certainly is a Bozo the Clown, and that, don't get me wrong on that one. Just as a reminder, tomorrow is Letter of Intent Day for UW and for Elton College Football. We will be carrying everything live as it happens tomorrow on 247 Sports. Steve Wilfong and Ryan Bartow, our recruiting experts, will be on CBS Sports as live streaming throughout the day, as well as Barton Sins. We're going to be giving out some funny awards tomorrow, like a look back at NFL stars highlight tape from high school, some 2015 recruits with the most Twitter followers, and 5 big-time recruits who were busted in college but reemerged in the NFL. So stay tuned to 247 Sports for that. Also, Coach Pete will be going on live at UW at 1 o'clock, and you can catch that on Pac-12 online. It says GoHuskies.com, but if you go to the Pac-12 website and go to their video, they're going to find that. And we'll be obviously carrying everything we can do, too, on Real Dog, as we always do every year, and answering questions on the message board. And I want to thank Lars again. Lars, you've been just a jewel this year. I can't say enough. And that's why you make the big money there, dude. You know.
Oh yeah.
You love it. Yeah. Making the big money because we all know that that's not happening. I pay him. It's just sometimes I'm few and far between. But anyway, back to business here. Don't forget to look at some of the things we got to offer on 247. We got some really cool stuff. We got the crystal ball. We've got the rankings, obviously, and I'll be running those through Twitter tomorrow. But the crystal ball is a big thing. And check it out tonight. See where your guys are. See where the guys are that we're covering and what the experts are saying. And, gosh, and 6:15, 6:30, Lars, in the morning? For Chris?
Warren, supposedly 6 a.m., I've been told 6:45.
I like it because I can sleep 15 minutes longer. So.
Well, I mean, the thing is, some people say, some people say he's announcing at 6. But I remember getting a text message saying it's going to be closer to 6:45. And you can get up at 6 and, you know, follow on Twitter. Or you can wake up at 7 and get the real answer.
And I want to let guys know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because by then half the taxes have let every 10, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. And I want to let guys know, too, I know you guys mean well on Twitter. I know you Husky fans, you're diehard, you're excited. I got to remind you that tweeting at PSAs is, you know, on behalf of Washington, they're saying, go Dogs, come to UW, we love you, blah, blah, blah. I would highly discourage that, even though I know it's hard to resist. I get that. I do. But it really is frowned down upon by the NCAA, and you know, it's just something that I would definitely advise you to not do. These recruits know you want them. They're not living under a rock. They know that. So, you know, if you want to follow them, you know, that shows your how much you like them. Is just follow them because they like to get a lot of followers. You know, so. But you know, one thing I've noticed this year, Lars, is that under Coach Pete, I don't see a lot of drama. You know, it's just different. It's a different feel. These guys are not flaky kind of guys that are out there playing games and you know, going out on Twitter and playing with people's heads. I mean, these are just real classy kids. Is that something you've noticed, too? It's just a little different kind of vibe from the way that this staff recruits?
Yeah, it has been. I mean, the closest that they've come to drama is when the kid would get another offer. And then people will say, you know, I mean, I remember when Renfro got the Michigan State offer, I went on the Michigan State boards and said there's zero chance he's flipping. And, you know, people were like, oh, well, you know, why would we offer if there was no chance? So, like, schools are not just going to not offer because there's no chance. There's always going to be, they can just say, hey, you know, if he gets fired or Washington gets put on probation or some crazy thing happens like that, don't forget to keep us in mind. But, I mean, there's really never been any true drama. And, I mean, I know Jordan Miller was getting some interest in UCLA, but that never materialized. And Jordan, basically, the funny thing with Jordan, they kept asking him when he was going to take his official visit, and he's like, I'm still playing. It's not that I'm not taking my visit, it's that I'm still playing. And he, ironically, he gets a face-off against Jake Browning, and Folsom easily won the state title. Not really close. But, you know, they had fun with it. And, really a lot of this, and even with, like, Chris, it's not drama. It's just no one knows where he's going. But Chris isn't making this a dramatic thing, going on Twitter saying, oh, hey, where am I going to go? Texas, Washington, Texas, Oklahoma State, you know?
Yeah,
no,
right.
He's just, even the kids that they're waiting until the last minute on, they're just not talking. Like, Hawkins isn't talking. Mecca isn't talking.
I know. Benny stopped
talking the last couple of days before he announced. Yeah. Yeah, Chris talked to me a week and a half ago for about 12, 13 minutes, and, you know, that was about as much as you're going to get out of him. So, which is more than I've gotten out of him at all. So, you know, there's that.
Well, I like it, to be honest. When I started doing covering recruiting, all we had was landlines, and you know, there was some cell phones floating around out there, but there weren't. There was no texting. There was no MySpace. There was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. There was nothing. It was just landlines, and it sucked. So this is kind of nice, you know, and also one of the things I've noticed, too, with Twitter, it kind of takes some of the pressure off about, you know, it's still nice to break a commit story. That's always going to be a cool thing to do, and we like doing that. But, you know, it's bless you. It's taken some of that pressure off from analysts, too, to have to feel like they had to be first on the story because kids are going to tweet it out. So it's kind of nice, you know. I've got to say that working now with social media has definitely made my life a little bit easier. Well, bless your heart, Lars. You sound like you need to go to bed and take some Formula 44D or whatever what's that NyQuil? Now they have NyQuil that first to help you sleep, like it didn't before. You know?
No, no. The
Michael
PM just knocks you out.
Well, it does anyway. I mean, when I was in my 20s and we ran out of beer, we just see, has anybody got any NyQuil or Comtrax, man? So, that stuff is horrible. But
I just got asked on Twitter, Chris Warren picks which school tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. If you want my opinion, Washington, I don't know anything else other than that. And
what
I
did you say about Chris Warren?
Oh, someone asked me on Twitter just now, Chris Warren picks which school tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know. I said, I'll stick with Washington. I mean, I've never claimed to say, you know, that he's going to pick Washington because he told me he picked Washington. I'm just basing this off of the conversations that I've had with him over the course of the last, you know, 5 or 6 months. And, you know, if he does pick Texas, it's not going to be by that much. And if he picks Washington,
no,
it's still not going to be by that much. But the thing with Chris, it's like, and you know, he told me this, he's like, look, if a school wants me, the spot will be there. If they don't want me, then so be it. I have another option. And the thing with Chris is both Texas and Washington are still trying to come back. I mean, I know Washington's not really coming back. They're kind of just stagnant. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, can I help bring a program back? And I think, you know, Chris sees that in both Texas and Washington. But Chris can actually bring Washington back. Whereas with Texas,
he's going to have
Kyle Lockey. He's going to have 30 different pieces around him. And Chris will be a part of it. But he's not going to be the guy that can say, hey, he brought Washington back.
Right. And you know, there's also, you know, they were talking about Soso, whatever his name is. So.
Yeah, the running back.
Whatever his name is. That he was a lock to UCLA, but then tonight somebody was saying maybe not, you know. But I don't see Chris as a guy that's going to be too concerned about the depth chart. You know, I don't see that, but... But I think you're right about that. I do think you have a really good point there because he knows he would be a featured back at UW. He knows that. I mean, his mom told me he's up to 245 right now. This kid's a beast, you know? So this is the kind of running backs that you see Oregon get a lot out of Texas. You know, UW doesn't usually get these guys. So, gosh, it would be a huge coup. It would be awesome for UW to get him. So, but, you know, we just go on what we believe in, and as Lars said, based on what we've learned talking to these guys. So I might just be, you know, whatever, you're spitting in the wind here with my Texas prediction, and we'll see. And I know Lars is going to just love to tell me I was wrong if he picks Washington.
Well,
so that'll be a lot of fun.
If Chris picks Washington tomorrow, I'm taking 2 weeks off because I'm the only person who's picked Washington.
You are the only person, and I was up there with you, and I got chicken. But you can take 2 weeks off. I'll hear a big woo-hoo coming from down in the Palouse somewhere. But
just going to drop the mic and walk away.
There you go. who is that? What is that? Dropping the mic and walking away. That's something in some movie or something where somebody just dropped the mic and went thump and they just walked off stage.
I'm not sure if it's a specific movie. I just know it's a popular thing when someone's, it's kind of like an emphasis thing where you just walk away.
Well, that too. It's just a kiss my butt, I was right thing. So,
yeah.
Anyway. Well, folks, it's really been nice to be on tonight with you. And as I said, I'm going to get this thing fixed because I'm really kind of irritated that we had all these callers call in and every single one of them, for some reason, I couldn't get them. So I'm going to see what we can do about that, get that fixed. We're going to do these shows more often, except for Lars, because he might have 2 weeks off and we won't see him. But anyway, thanks again, dog fans, recruiting fans. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, get up bright and early for Chris Warren's announcement, and we will be covering all day long, letter of intent, signing day. And that's it. Thank you very much. And bye-bye, Lars. Thanks for calling in, kiddo.
No problem, anytime.
Yay!